On the line with us now is Sue Wanzer, and Sue is a member of the MCCSC. MCCSC, as am I. Mm-hmm. And we had a school board meeting Tuesday night. And Sue, good morning.
Good morning to both of you. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful. Before we get started on what happened Tuesday night, there's a front page story about Anne St. John and collected coats and hats and scarves and mittens for kids in Templeton School. We saw the generosity of people that come to the aid of school kids has been overwhelming, and we just want to thank everybody. But a nice story about Anne St. John and what she's done. And we got a lot of people like that that come to the aid of schools and help out all the time.
Right, and I think Anne St. John coordinated the drive for Fairview.
Right, and Templeton, right.
PTO, that Templeton PTO coordinated that drive, and Templeton posted a great video online with their cafegymatorium packed with tables that had all kinds of hats, scarves, gloves, hygiene products, primarily for their concern was the 24 homeless children who attend Templeton, mm-hmm. and certainly something that we as a community need to think about in the future, that it's not just at the holiday times these kids and their families need assistance, but certainly year-round, too. But you're right, Keith. Shout-out to the community for helping so much with this stuff.
And another kind of good news situation is most of the kids are at school already, and the fact that they're at school means that tomorrow they actually don't have to go to school, because tomorrow was slated on the calendar as a snow day. In the event we had a snow day, we didn't have one, so the kids are off tomorrow. So they're going to love that.
And I'm sure not only the kids love it, but I know that the teachers are loving it too. Because I was over at University Elementary School yesterday to see their culmination of their Science IB International Baccalaureate project. And I know everybody is just going crazy waiting for the holiday break.
Oh, yeah. Hey, if you're a kid, that's what it's all about. And while we're on that topic, and we're talking about what people do for the community, you probably saw the story earlier about Templeton that talked about homeless kids. It doesn't necessarily mean that there are kids that are living in cars and stuff like that, but certainly not living in their own homes or staying with friends. Some are in hotels, motels. And when school's not open, these kids, schools are feeding these kids. And so Backpack Buddies is a huge issue. And again, the community has come together, and a lot of these kids are going home with backpacks to help get them through this period of time over the break.
Right. And coincidentally enough, I'm a volunteer at Community Kitchen and have worked with the Backpack Buddies program on Thursday mornings, packing those bags for kids to take home for the weekend. And there's amazing stuff in there, some protein, some non-perishable protein. There's nuts, there's crackers, there's fruit, sometimes dried fruit, sometimes fresh fruit. And again, that's made possible by the donations of this community and volunteers at Community Kitchen.
In a moment, we're going to talk about that dreaded word in schools called ISTEP. But before we do that, David Sabaugh steps down as a member of the MCCSC school board. And we have Kathy Fuentes-Rohr coming on board in January. I know you've said some nice things about David and Kathy. So here's your chance to one more time tell people about David and Kathy.
Well, I've known David since 1999 when I left IU and I went to work for the city. And he was a city council member at the time. And over the years, David and I have had some great conversations. And the whole time I've been on the school board, which is since 2001, David and I had some great conversations about public education, and he has always been such a supporter of public education long before he ever thought about running for the school board. So that was a natural transition for him, I think, to leave city government and then run for the school board, because he was such an advocate for equal and equitable public education for all kids. As is Kathy Fuentes-Royer coming in after David. Kathy was elected in the fall election, as were you and I and Lois Sabo-Skelton. So Kathy will be joining us. And since the first referendum 7 years ago, Kathy has worked tirelessly as a volunteer for MCCSC. So again, that's a real natural transition, I think, to have Kathy come aboard, especially as a parent on the school board, because for the last several years we haven't had anyone with a kid in school, and certainly we welcome all kinds of diversity, and that does diversify our board.
All right, let's talk about the school board meeting Tuesday night. I'll let you start it off.
Well, you know, it was the last meeting of the year, so we did a lot of things that were kind of, that we had to get done at the end of the year, such as we made some changes in insurance for AFSCME and for MC, for our teachers union. We also approved the AFSCME contract that will go into effect for 2 years, starting in January, and AFSCME covers most of our support staff. And we also we approved salary recommendation increases for folks who are non-union support and administrative folks. So we did a lot of those kinds of things that we needed to really get done by the end of the year. And those things that involve the unions, it's not just one meeting of approval. It's been months of bargaining and negotiating to arrive at solutions and contract changes that the school corporation and the union leadership and the union rank and file all approved. So I think we were real pleased about all that.
And we also talked about, Jen Bergeson talked about the meaning of the ISTEP scores that were recently announced. What was your takeaway on that one?
Well, I knew you would get to ISTEP sooner or later. You know, for people who don't watch the meeting and just might get information from us or other ways, people don't realize, Keith, that you and I sit next to each other. So when you and I are both railing about ISTEP, that end of the table, I think, kind of gets real bouncy and raucousy, and we might get our chairs off the dais or something, because especially you, we both talked about our disappointment with ISTEP, how it's constructed, how it's administered, how it's scored, the problems with the administration of it, with waiting for grades, and how it really isn't measuring or we're not using it the way it was intended. We're using it to grade schools, and we know our schools are so much more than a grade on English language and math tests. It's just so much more. And to look at university school, that's one of our new international baccalaureate schools, and everything they do, and to see that they received a B because of the ISTEP testing, is kind of confounding to me.
Well, and the other thing about the test is, I'm just so old-fashioned that if you want me to add up 2 + 2 = 4, I can do that. But an ISTEP test wants us to show how we arrived at 4. So, well, you took the number 2, and that's 2 1s, and then I took the other number 2, and that's 2 1s, and I added them together, and 1 and 1 is 2, and then 1 and 1 is 2, and then 2 and 2 is 4. And it's like, okay, it's the same answer, but why do we care how we arrived at, I don't know, I'm just the math stuff. But at any rate, it's, I think the most frustrating thing for me, Sue, is the promises may not be the right word, but the legislature and the IDOE and all these other things have talked about, we're going to get this fixed. We're going to get this all taken care of. We have a blue ribbon committee that's going to come up with things that'll make this new test wonderful. And then they finish meeting and nothing. We don't know yet what it's going to be. It looks like it's going to be what we had last year with a tweak here or there. And so, you know, and then the test that they just announced the results on is not comparable to the previous test because it was a different company. And it just, it's all that stuff. And, you know, the frustration for teachers of how do you prepare students for a test that you're not quite sure what it's going to cover. So that's my frustration.
You know, and people, I think, are surprised when you hear or when they hear that teachers prepare kids to take the test. And that doesn't necessarily mean teaching the test. It means the whole process, especially when you were talking about the math portion where kids have to show how they arrived at an answer. Now, you don't just go into a test and tell a kid to do that. You have to prepare for that.
Right.
Children need to understand how to do that as part of the test. And I think one of the examples I used at the board meeting was, as a kid, I was really good at math, and I did a lot of stuff in my head. And I'm not sure necessarily, as a youngster, I had the language to articulate exactly how I came up with an answer. So, yeah, it's frustrating, Keith, and I think we learned that this test will be used again this spring, and then again in 18,
right.
And then after that, there'll be a new test. So it'll be interesting to see what happens eventually with this, especially since, as you mentioned, we had a committee to try to revamp, restructure, improve the test, and nothing happened as a result of it.
Yeah, and another thing I want to mention here is, and you kind of alluded to it in what you just said, I taught on the college level in what was referred to as life skills. And one of the things that kids discovered in that class was learning style. Not every kid learns the same way. And we're talking college kids that when we got into that part of the course would say, that's why I never did well in that class. That teacher was all verbal, and I'm a hands-on person. Verbal doesn't do anything for me. And then we have a test that is, you got to do it this way, and if you're not that kind of a test taker, then you're not going to do as well as people that are good at taking tests that way. So it's like,
well,
geez.
And Keith, you're exactly right. I always did well on standardized tests, and I think there's a lot of research that shows if your learning style or your thinking style matches what test makers think about when they're
right.
creating tests, you do better, because so much of it is language dependent as well. You have to understand the question. So as you and I keep saying, we know how our students are doing. We know where they need to improve. And how do we know that? Because we have teachers in the classroom with these kids every single day who know what kids need and who know how they're doing. And to use a standardized state test, I guess if we want to compare all children, fine, but that's really not what the test was for. If it's to give teachers feedback on what kids need to learn, we've already got that in our classroom.
Well, let me throw another thing at you, because this is just peripherally connected to what we're talking about. But in the old days, if you said to a youngster, what do you want to be when you grow up? Teacher was one of those things. And now we're looking at a nationwide shortage of teachers, and a large part of it is all of the hoops we're making teachers jump through. And in the old days, you taught and you tested and you knew how your kids are doing, and now you've got everybody and their brother second guessing what you're doing and making you do this, that, and the other thing. And we've got young people leaving the profession that they wanted to be a part of for all the altruistic reasons that people do, and then they get there and all of this stuff is coming at them and they say, no, I can go someplace else and not have to deal with this.
Well, you're exactly right. And I think we as a society, as a country, a lot of people have devalued the teaching profession. And we can see that in states that are saying you no longer have to have a teacher's license. You no longer have to be prepared as an educator, as a teacher. You no longer have to learn those things that give you the skills to transmit knowledge. And I really think that's too bad. And as a result of that, we have also weakened we've lessened the capacity of our schools of education at the university level. So I just think this community certainly understands, but I think we as a nation need to get back to regarding teachers as the professionals that they are. My goodness, Keith, you, me, none of us would be where we are if it weren't for our teachers.
No,
in
not
case
at all. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, you know, it's just amazing, and I'm becoming a Grinch now just sitting here thinking about just let's leave it on a happy note, Sue. everyone have a great holiday season. We talked about all the politically correct things that you can do and all the different holidays and ethnic backgrounds that people have this time of year. Let's just say enjoy the season. Be kind to each other, and we look forward to all kinds of great new things in 2017. And Sue, to you, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and look forward to more things in 2017.
Well, thank you, Keith. It's been a good year working with you on the school board, and we'll look forward to our January 10th, which is the school board organizational meeting where we meet to elect our officers and appoint positions. And then we'll get started as a new school board.
You have a great one, Sue. Thank you.
You guys, too. Happy holidays to everybody. Bye-bye.